out over the plate, and that is a fair ball down into the left field corner. Gordon scores. Mondesi is being waved to the plate, and Bubba Starling comes up with a two-run double, and the Royals lead 5-2 in the eighth inning.
And the Royals go on to win 5-3 on Thursday night over the Tigers. Second start of the young career of the young pitcher Brady Singer for the Royals. And unfortunately for him, though, he gets another no decision here. But the Royals do end up with the win on Thursday night to salvage the final game. Well, not the salvage, but to actually get a tie in that four-game series. They split the two games, or the four games two apiece, I should say, between the Royals and Tigers here this week. So the Royals now 3-4 on the season with that victory on Thursday. We'll have much more coming up on that here momentarily. We'll talk about Singer and his second game and another rookie getting set to make a debut tonight for the Royals. Lots of other things we're going to discuss here this morning on the Sports Ticket. The SEC coming down yesterday with a very big decision on what they want to do with their 2020 football season. And the Big 12 is still left holding the bag. We'll talk a little bit about that and what they're doing, because not a whole lot of people really know what they're doing right now as far as the Big 12 is concerned. More college football notes. Again, the NBA opened up last night, Sporting KC in the round of eight in the MLS, PGA and NASCAR, and much more. We're going to hear from Damian Williams as well, Kansas City Chiefs running back who decided to opt out of the 2020 season. It's all coming up. Much more here on the Sports Ticket on Katy Country 94. We're glad to have you with us here on this Friday, July 31st, final day of the month of July. We're going to start with the Royals because that's what's fresh on your mind and what we just heard, Bubba Starling with the two-run double that really kind of gave the Royals the separation they needed to pick up the win on Thursday night there in Detroit, as Royals manager Mike Matheny says things coming together and a nice win on Thursday night for his squad there in Detroit.
Just right from the top, guys making something happen and putting the pressure on, and once again, you know, giving him a run or so to work with, and all the way through that lineup, so good things. So, guys, you know, Gordo, after beating a shift multiple times, and then first to third a couple times, Mondi shortened things up. Just a great overall effort. And the bullpen did a fantastic job.
Again, Mike Matheny, the Royals manager, is talking about the great effort for his squad, getting the win over the Tigers on Thursday night. So, again, it was the second start of the season for the young pitcher Brady Singer, and I'm going to tell you right now, through a couple games, I like what I see from Singer. It's not been really started really well in this first start and then gave up a couple runs, but last night was not too bad there in his start there against the Tigers, second start of the season. Unfortunately for Singer, he seems to come out of the games and in situations where it's a no decision. Last night he pitched five innings, gave up just five hits, two earned runs. He did have three strikeouts, a couple walks there for Singer, but when he's really on, he does have strikeout stuff if it gets there and gets going where he needs it to. Again, he exited the game. The game was tied at two apiece, so no decision for Singer there. He's a couple starts. He's got a 3.60 ERA. He's given up four runs so far this season. Overall, it's not been, you wouldn't say like overly dominant, but he's pitched five innings exactly in both of his first two starts. Last night went a little bit deeper with 80-some pitches. Let me get back to that on the pitch count. He had 82 pitches last night. So they're kind of going to try to your goal is, especially with those rookies, to maybe not get them going too far, kind of work them into the system and the situation that they're in. Again, Brady Singer, a guy that was in Double-A last year, for the most part, and then again with the issues that the Royals have right now with their starting rotation, they're having to call up rookies and younger guys and get them out there. So it's been a little bit different of an approach here early on this season for the Royals. And again, Singer, not bad over the first couple starts, getting four runs in 10 innings, and again has been very effective at times for the Royals. A young guy, and he's getting, I would say, maybe thrown into the fire here early, but I feel like maybe, and we're going to talk about Chris Bubich, who's going to start tonight for the Royals in his debut, but I think maybe this is a better situation for some of these younger guys to be in when you're bringing them up and when you're kind of testing the waters in a 60-game season where the pressure's not, the pressure to win is there, I guess. You need to win consistently early, I guess, if you want to have a chance to make it to the playoffs, but for the Royals, we kind of know that now's not their time. It's in the future, and some of these guys and pitchers that they have, we'll go through some of the other prospects that they have coming down the pike there and their pipeline that they have in the minor leagues. And again, the reason I say maybe it's a good time now for guys like Brady Singer and Chris Bubich to get up and get going with this team is because there is no minor league baseball this year. And if you're stuck down there and you're stuck on a taxi squad or you're stuck sitting around and waiting to make it to the big league club, there's not a lot of activity that you can partake in at this point in time if you're a minor league baseball player. So, you know, getting a guy like Brady Singer and Chris Bubich to come up and make starts are going to be pretty key, I think, for what these teams want to do, especially on a team like the Royals. Like we said, this is not a team that it was expected, whether it be a 162-game season, whether it be a 60-game season, that's expected to really make noise and waves and make it to the postseason, the playoffs, and win a World Series, or even think about some of those things. So now's a perfect time, I feel like, anyway, to get these younger guys in there and give them a chance. Brady Singer, again, the rookie, he's had 10 strikeouts in his first couple starts here. So, you know, like I said, he only had 3 strikeouts last night, so he had 7 in his first game in his debut. So he has the ability to have strikeout stuff if need be, if he's on. And, again, a good time, I feel like, for Brady Singer to get acclimated to the major leagues right now where, you know, this is not – like I said, there's pressure to win early if you really are a team that feel like you're going to make it to the postseason, make it to the playoffs. But the way the Royals are set up right now, that's just not the case. And Brady Singer is a guy that can get valuable experience right now. And, again, I feel like he's done that. He's been impressive at times. Like I said, not overly dominant, but fairly impressive at times. Now, again, as we mentioned, Chris Bubich will be making his first start tonight for the Kansas City Royals. What a story this is. He was the 40th overall pick in that 2018 draft. And let me pull up this, kind of what this looks like for the Royals as far as some of the other pitchers that are coming up, because this 2018 draft, they had quite a few players that were or pitchers that were drafted in that draft. So again, we kind of look at the 2018 class, we kind of go back and forth with this, but again, Brady Singer was the 18th pick in that draft. Jackson Coar was the 33rd pick. Daniel Lynch was 34th. Chris Bubich was 40th, and Jonathan Bolin was 58th. Those are all pitchers that are part of that 2018 class, and Singer was the top pick by the Royals that year in 18. So, again, these are guys that were just drafted 2 years ago, and they're coming up now and pitching in the big leagues, and two of them anyway, as Brady Singer's already made his debut, and Chris Bubich, the 40th overall pick in 2018, will make his debut tonight. Now, Bubich is a guy that has – what's crazy about this when you really think about it is he's never pitched higher than high A ball. And he's going to make his major league debut tonight. He's a 22-year-old left-hander and led all minor leaguers in strikeouts last year with 185 and 149 in the third innings. He had a 2.23 ERA, over low A and high A, 2.08 at low A in Lexington in 9 starts, and he was 2.30 ERA in 17 starts at high A Wilmington last year. He's a second Royal starter going to make his MLB debut this year. He is ranked the number 96 prospect in all of baseball by Baseball Prospectus. He's ranked number 6 prospect in the Royals organization by MLB Pipeline. Just kind of one of the things that they wrote there and what Bubich is, he's able to carve up hitters across the levels in 2019 on the strength of fastball and changeup. Heater in the low 90s, trick arm speed and fading action. What that means is he's got a – it's a weird delivery. When you see him pitch tonight, you'll see it. It's not the normal delivery, kind of a funky delivery that they would say, not unlike like a Clayton Kershaw or somebody like that, that, you know, trying to create deception, and does throw a curveball every now and then. An average offering is what they say on the report there, but it does have good late bites. So, again, most of it's going to be fastball changeup for Bubich, but I don't want to be like Rex Hudler and analyze that because a lot of pitchers have a lot of different pitches if they're at this level. So we'll move on with that. But, again, Chris Bubich is making his debut tonight. And, again, one of 5 pitchers from that class of 2018 that are possibly expected to be starting pitchers. The Royals have had their rotation decimated, as we talked about at the beginning of this year, Brian Kelly and Jacob Junis. with the COVID-19 positive tests and trying to come back from that. Left-hander Mike Montgomery was placed on the injured list earlier this week. He has a lat strain. Kyle Zimmer's had to make a short start, and that's definitely not what the Royals want. And, you know, Mike Matheny's talking about Ronald Bolaños going to have to make more starts. But, again, I'm not focused on this year anyway with the Royals. I said they were going to go 18-42 when we started this thing up last week, when we started talking about, you know, what are the Royals going to do. Just a week ago when they made their season opener against the Indians, I said 18-42. Right now they're 3-4. They're proving me wrong a little bit as far as that's concerned. But again, these young guys get a chance now to go up against some of the Major League Baseball competition. They're in games where this does not make or break. You know, they're not going to, I feel like, have their confidence really stripped right now because of the fact that it's a shortened season, 60-game season. Not every single focus. Obviously, you want to win, and you want to have a chance to get in there and do some good things. But right now, you can kind of be a little bit more free, I would think, as you get into it and get yourself acclimated to Major League Baseball. So, again, all these guys were college arms that they drafted in 2018. And a lot of these guys, you're going to hear these names hopefully down the road. And we've already heard Brady Singer and Chris Bubich tonight. And like I said, Jackson Coar, Daniel Lynch, Jonathan Bolin. You'll hear these names hopefully coming up here for the Royals before too long. Prospect Watch, as far as what MLB.com has Brady Singer, the number 2 prospect in the Royals organization. Daniel Lynch is number 3. Jackson Coar, number 5, and Chris Bubich, number 6. Those are the pitchers that we mentioned. They're all top 6 prospects for the Kansas City Royals. And, again, we talked about Jonathan Bolin. He is right now the number 16 prospect in the organization. So what you want is you want these guys to get their chances. And like I said, we've got a couple guys in Singer and Bubich who are getting their chances early here. And then you're going to hear other names like Bobby Witt Jr. hopefully coming up and being a part of this team. Obviously, the number 1 prospect in the organization right now. You'll hear guys hopefully like Khalil Lee, who's the number 4 ranked prospect. Nick Prado at first base, who was one of the top draft picks not long ago for this Royals squad, and a lot of other names that you hope to hear. The other top 10 prospects, we told you about Whitley. Also, Brady McConnell is a shortstop, is the number 7 prospect in this organization. Kyle Isbell at outfield, number 8, and MJ Melendez, number 9. So a lot of these guys, in Prado, number 10, a lot of these guys you're hoping to see here in the future for the Royals so we can turn this thing around so we can see that development. And this is an interesting situation because I think there's been a lot of pitchers in the past for the Royals that are like, this is it. You know, in the first rebuild, they had guys like Danny Duffy, Mike Montgomery, John Lamb, Chris Dwyer, that they were all hoping to get up. And, you know, that goes on to Sean Manaea. Brandon Finnegan would be part of that. That was part of the trade for Johnny Cueto as well. And just other guys that they hoped would be on the Major League Baseball squad. So you get excited about the fact that you have this many high prospects and very well groomed, hopefully, but definitely very well thought of and highly rated prospects that you hope can come up and be a part of this pitching staff. You know, the last time around, it was mostly those position players, the Mike Moustakas's, the Eric Hosmers of the world, you know, Salvador Perez, when they came up. That was the wave. You know, it was position players. It was guys that were going to have that in their hand. But now I get excited thinking about it. I get excited thinking about the fact that you got a Brady Singer, Chris Bubich that could come up, just guys that are ready to come out and really perform and perform well. And then Asa Lacy, the new guy that got drafted this year by the Royals, another guy that you could hear from down the road. So, again, that's the future is what we're looking at for the Royals and getting these younger pitchers to come up, because pitching is so important, rotation is so important. You're seeing it right now for the Royals. They're struggling just to find guys, so now they're having to bring up these guys maybe a little bit quicker than they would like to, but that's what it is in the end. So, and Dayton Moore did say a week before the season that we're going to be aggressive with the right players, assuming they have the ability to help us. So we're not going to shy away from that. So he's proven that right so far. Brady Singer and Chris Bubich, pitchers, are making their debuts for the Royals. Singer's already had 2 games, and Bubich making the start tonight for the Royals. They start the series this evening against the White Sox. So we'll keep an eye on that. First pitch is at 7:05 tonight between Kansas City and Chicago at Kauffman Stadium. All right, we shift gears now and see what we want to go to next. We're going to talk about SEC Big 12 might wrap the show with that because there's a lot there to digest and go through. We can tell you that let's go to the NFL now. Damian Williams is staying on the Kansas City side of things. How about we do that? We'll go to the NFL, and Damian Williams, Kansas City Chiefs running back, it was announced on Wednesday, had made his decision to opt out of the 2020 season. I think there's probably question marks and people wondering why that was the case, and there was not a lot given on Thursday. Or Wednesday night and Thursday morning from the Chiefs as far as why Damian Williams made that decision. Me personally, I feel like it's a decision that people make. It's a personal decision. They don't have to tell us why. But Damian Williams yesterday did tell us why he made the decision to opt out of the 2020 season.
For me, it was, just kind of cut straight, simple, right to it. I'm dealing with a family matter. My mom was just diagnosed with cancer. So, and it's stage 4. So, there was no other, that was my decision. With everything that's going on, and, she was, the only one there for me, I never had the opportunity, to have my dad there. So, my mom is, my rock, my everything. So, during a hard time like this, I think, I should be next to her every step.
Williams also said that he's hoping to have support from everybody, that they'll understand his decision.
It was hard, I sat down, talked to everybody in, my circle, family and everybody close to me. And, my mom, she just was like, whatever decision, I'm behind you. But at the end of the day, it's hard, football is my life, especially coming off, a championship and wanting to do a repeat, which, I know they're going to handle that. But at the end of the day, it's just something personal, I had to handle.
And I know that, from the statement from Brett Veach, general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs there on Wednesday, that they're in support of Damian Williams' decision. I tell you, I feel like the players shouldn't have to explain to us why they've made that decision to opt out of the season. I think a lot of players will come out and say, here, this is why I did it. This is why I decided not to play in 2020. And I know, we know that Laurent Duvernay-Tardif has a fairly good excuse as a doctor to sit out and be on the front lines helping in his native country of Canada and staying there in the hospitals and helping treat the patients with COVID-19. And again, not wanting to take that risk. He said, if I'm going to take a risk, I'm going to take it in the hospital treating and helping people rather than just going out and being selfish and playing the sport that I love. And so Tardif made that decision. And obviously, most people are not making these decisions for completely selfish reasons. And you can obviously understand. And I can empathize and sympathize with Damian Williams. I don't talk about it a lot because it's not information that we need to have out to everybody in our family anyway. But my mom's just gone through all, and she's continuing and finishing up treatment for stage 3 cancer. And she's fortunately, if you follow me on Facebook, if you're my friend there and have seen the updates, she's on the backside of this thing and we'll have to go through some chemotherapy still. But, when he talks about his mom being diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, it hits me. It hits me hard. And because, never know how close you are to that. And you never know when those things come up and when they hit, you're never prepared to hear it. You're never prepared to deal with it. And like I say, I don't talk about it a lot, but hard to deal with when you get those phone calls and have to hear those things and deal with those personal things in life. So I completely empathize and sympathize, like I said, with Damian Williams about the situation. And he's made that decision to, be there for his mom and also to make sure that he's not exposed to a lot of different people that could, in essence, infect him with the virus. And so there's a lot of people that are going to start making these kind of decisions. Like I said, we've talked about so much. This isn't the first. It's not the only one that will happen. There'll be plenty of them still to come that'll make this decision more than likely. And again, when things come up, like he said, it hit right away. They told us stage 4 cancer. My mom, I got to stay here. I got to be around. I can't play this year. I got to be home. I got to stay home with my mom and be there for her. And commend Damian Williams for doing that and understanding that sometimes things are a little bit bigger than just a game in the end. Like Laurent Duvernay-Tardif says, it's a game that I love. And I know that these people get paid quite a bit of money just to play, quote-unquote, a game, like I just said it. But You know, you got to make the decisions that you feel are best for your family, and Damian Williams did that. And I commend him for doing that. It's not always easy. Like he said, to, you know, you're talking about run it back. That's the theme for the Chiefs, get back there and win a Super Bowl this year. And, you know, you have all that excitement and momentum, and you hope it turns into momentum. Like, I don't believe in the whole momentum moves over to different seasons, but, you know, this is a team that is very experienced, and a lot of teams are going to have issues with getting themselves ready. We've already seen it with limited time, with no mini camps really together as teams, doing all that virtually. So some of these teams are going to be behind the eight ball a little bit. So you think the Chiefs coming in with all that experience, those starters back, would have an advantage like we've talked about. And Damian Williams probably knows that in the back of his mind. He's like, man, we could probably go win another one. We might have a chance. But like he said, you know, it's tough to walk away from a chance to come back and get paid and possibly win another championship. But we all have to make our decisions that we feel are best personally and best for our family. And like I said, I commend Damian Williams for doing that there for the Chiefs. We don't have anything new as far as the Chiefs are concerned. I don't think there's been any other players that have opted out here for 2020. We have some breaking news that we're going to tell you about more when I'm going to go back to the Major League Baseball here momentarily. Veteran running back LeSean McCoy, who was part of the Chiefs last year, was not on the playoff active roster, but was part of the Chiefs. He is not back for the Chiefs this year. They do have, again, they drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They've got Darrell Williams, Darwin Thompson, and then also they got DeAndre Washington, free agency, to help shore up that running back spot without Damian Williams. But LeSean McCoy, again, did not re-up with the Chiefs as a free agent. He has now signed a one-year deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So that's the story on LeSean McCoy. I'm trying to keep his career alive here in the NFL. Looks like he's definitely on the backside of it. We'll see how much longer McCoy is still out there playing in the NFL. Now pop back to the Major League Baseball real quick, because the coronavirus pandemic is still causing problems in Major League Baseball. The Philadelphia Phillies yesterday canceled all activities at Citizens Bank Park, and their weekend series against the Blue Jays has been postponed. Decision was made after a member of the coaching staff and a member of the home clubhouse staff tested positive for the coronavirus. Phillies did say none of their players have tested positive, but they were supposed to play a doubleheader Saturday, another game Sunday. Major League Baseball said it would coordinate with the MLBPA and health experts on when the Phillies will return to play. The Blue Jays, by the way, they were playing the Nationals. They're stuck in D.C. right now. They're waiting. They're going to play their home games eventually in Buffalo this year, because Canada said you can't play in Toronto, keep going into the United States, and then coming in from the United States, I should say, and going back out to the United States, coming back in. Canada's got a 14-day quarantine that you have to do, so we've talked about that. But the Blue Jays are supposed to be playing their home games in Buffalo once the stadium's ready for them. I don't know when that's going to be, but they're stuck right now in Washington. So now, if you look at it, again, this all started really for the Phillies. They have not played since Sunday, and that was mostly as a precaution from the outbreak that happened to the Miami Marlins organization when they were in Philadelphia last weekend. So they're currently scheduled to play a four-game series against the Yankees in New York Monday and Tuesday, then in Philadelphia Wednesday and Thursday. Those games were actually supposed to be this week, but then everything happened. The Yankees moved their games. They got postponed, so they're playing the Orioles this week, who were supposed to play against the Marlins. So everything's kind of been shifted around as far as that's concerned. We're kind of adjusting on the fly with baseball, and we talked about it yesterday that we don't want to freak out with what happened to the Marlins. We don't want to like put out there that, oh, the season's over because the Marlins have this outbreak of COVID-19. But I'm gonna tell you right now, it's affecting now five different teams with just this part. There's one team having an outbreak in the end has really affected five teams in the major leagues right now. You've affected yourself, obviously. You've affected the Philadelphia Phillies, who you played over the weekend and apparently went out there knowing that you had positive cases and still went out and played. That's something I still don't understand on that side of things. As far as that's concerned, if they're going to go ahead and postpone and move games right now, why didn't they do that right away? I think might have dropped the ball a little bit on that. But so, again, the Marlins, you've affected the Phillies. So then the two teams you're supposed to play that week are affected, which are the Orioles and the Yankees. They're affected. They have to move around their schedule. They move around. They're playing just, you know, in a up, not uproar, but just quick. They're trying to get it done quick. They're trying to just adjust on the fly here and make those games possible, which the Yankees and Orioles are able to do. But now you've affected also the next team you're supposed to play. the Toronto Blue Jays. And now we have a news story this morning about baseball and COVID-19. This is why I'm concerned, and I talked about it yesterday, and I know Wade kind of played the other side of it and did want to explain that just because one team has it doesn't mean the league shuts down. But there's been another game called off here for today. The St. Louis Cardinals have had multiple members test positive for coronavirus, resulting in Major League Baseball postponing Friday afternoon's game at the Milwaukee Brewers, sources told ESPN's Jeff Passan. MLB's quick decision to postpone Friday's game, which was scheduled for 1:10 this afternoon, comes after that outbreak with the Marlins, who have had now 19 positive tests over the past week, is what their total number is up to. Sources told ESPN's Jesse Rogers that what is happening with the Cardinals had occurred before the Marlins outbreak. Friday's game at Miller Park, if what was happening with the Cardinals, if it had occurred before the Marlins outbreak, Friday's game at Miller Park would still be scheduled. So, again, we've seen this, the effect that has. Now, MLB's saying, okay, you got multiple members that have tested positive for coronavirus, too much contact with the different guys. We're not going to bring in another team here and let you play. And that's obviously not what you really want in a situation like this. But again, we've talked about this. By not playing in a bubble, by not being in one spot, and the fact that you can go back home and sleep, go back to your place, and then come back to the stadium the next day, you're still moving around. You're still moving with different in different spots, and you would hope and trust that all the players are doing is going home and going back to the stadium. But there's time. You live life. If you're driving back and forth, at some point you're gonna have to stop and put gas in your car. It's just an example. You're gonna have to stop and put gas in your car. Maybe you made contact with somebody there. Some point you're gonna get hungry, right? You're not in a bubble. You don't have everything just set right there for you. And I know a lot of these players probably have people that can help them do that and family members that can help do that, whatever. That's another thing that I can get to. You're a family. Is your family, like I said, you're at home. Not you're on the road. When you're on the road, you're staying with your team. You're at home. Your family. Is your family doing everything that you're supposed to do? Are they coming in contact with anybody during the day? There's so many things that can add up when you're talking about trying to stay in a bubble, and it just, there's issues all over the place, and it's not going to get better, I don't feel like, in Major League Baseball, and this is why I am hesitant about, and Wade's been hesitant too, I think, and this is probably one of the reasons why for him as well, that how are we going to get football in with all of these people? There's so many people involved in a football team. And the staff and everybody that travels with a football team, specifically, you know, college is probably going to have to cut down on the number of traveling players if they actually do end up playing football this year. But in the NFL, you kind of just have everybody goes. And there's so much staff. There's so much training staff. There's so much equipment staff, coaches, players, owners. You know, I don't know if the owners are all going to go, but there's just examples of how many people are actually, I mean, there's at least 53 guys, just players alone, that are going to be traveling. And that's already more than the number of players and personnel probably that travel with Major League Baseball. So this is a big issue for me, and I think it's probably a big issue for the NFL in trying to actually decide, are we going to be able to have this football season? Are we going to be able to do what we think we can do? Now, the bubble has proven a little bit to actually work, and I'm a little bit surprised by that because I didn't think everybody would take the bubble serious enough and everybody would be able to stay out of there. But, again, it's just started. NBA just started last night, but the bubble seems to be working in the MLS as well. So it's not good news for baseball, though, because they are Cardinals positives represents the first positive test in the sports has seen since has seen outside of the East Coast since the regular season started last week. So we talked about yesterday and the day before that, with all the tests throughout Major League Baseball, the other 29 teams had no positive tests. Phillies have had a couple personnel positive tests. They have not had any players test positive. But now the Cardinals have had multiple members test positive for COVID-19. Excuse me, I had to get a drink there to fix my throat a little bit. Anyway, the Cardinals have had multiple members that have tested positive. So we got issues. We got things that are going to be canceled or postponed. Who knows? Maybe even canceled. Right now, all these things they say are postponed because they're going to try to find a date. They're going to try to get this in. But we're going to see where this all leads. Cardinals and Brewers, look ahead, those teams are in the National League Central. Teams from each division and are playing cross divisions in each league, too. NL Central plays the AL Central. What division are the Royals in? The AL Central. So, looking ahead, luckily for the Royals, they don't have St. Louis or Milwaukee on the schedule real quickly here. So, it's not an issue. They got the White Sox 3 at home. Then they go 2 on the road to Chicago to take on the Cubs. Two more at home against the Cubs and 3 more at home against the Twins. They don't see Milwaukee until next month, and they don't see St. Louis until the end of this month. So, again, they're okay from that standpoint right now, but National League Central, American League Central are going to be playing each other. So down the road, what does that mean for the Kansas City Royals? You hope nothing, again, because it's been so far out that they'll be playing these teams. So we'll keep an eye on that. Cardinals Brewers is postponed today due to 3 positive coronavirus tests within the St. Louis Cardinals organization. All right, still to come. Again, we're going to talk about SEC Big 12, what that means in college football. Real quick before we do that, though, I'm going to get to the NBA, which started last night, an exciting night of NBA basketball.
Here go the Clippers, down by 2. Kawhi's got it. You see the clock. LeBron on Kawhi, down to 4. Here's George. He's way outside, a lunging 3. No, rebound Caruso.
LA Lakers get the win. LeBron James in straight lockdown mode on that last possession. You heard about Kawhi with the ball, Paul George with the ball. He had to force up a deep 3 there at the end. And that was LeBron James. He was clutch, closed on both ends. He made a layup earlier before that to give the Lakers a 2-point lead. And, well, he took care of it after that, too. So LeBron James on defense making a big really locking down on Kawhi Leonard and Paul George there late in the game. So the Lakers pick up a pretty important and needed win there. Again, they just kind of want to stay in first place in those Western Conference standings, and they're able to do that with that win last night. The Lakers are now at 50-14, and the Clippers fell to 44-21, 6.5 games behind the Lakers for the first spot there in the Western Conference. It looks like 6.5 game lead with 7 games left now. Looks pretty safe for the Lakers to get that number 1 seed. Good start to the NBA last night for LeBron James and the Lakers. NBA games that count were actually played Thursday night. Again, the other one was the Jazz and Pelicans. The Jazz won 106-104 over the Pelicans. Lakers pulled out the 103-101 win over the Clippers that you heard there in the nightcap. Both games going down to the wire. Intensity was evident. Even though there were no fans in the arena, everybody played and played hard, played tough, as evidenced by the fact that LeBron was playing very tough defense at the end of that game last night. So there were a couple things that you see. Everyone knelt for the anthem. You know, the social justice takes were all out there. It took center stage before both games. Montage of NBA players and coaches standing up for justice played in the arena, saying, "We will not be silent." Again, he made a winning LeBron James played the hero twice, as we mentioned. Just some of the highlights that happened last night. Made the game-winning shot by following up his own miss with just under 13 seconds left to play. Made that and then played great defense on the other end of the floor to really slow things down. So for the Clippers, and the Lakers end up getting the win. NBA unveiled virtual fans. You could see, if you were watching last night, some screens and there were virtual fans. Video feeds of dozens of home team fans watching remotely were displayed on large monitors around the arena. Pelicans, everybody's talking about Zion Williamson. And, you know, he had a decent night there. He finished 13 points in 15 minutes on 6 of 8 shooting. His minutes were limited. Kind of criticism on how those minutes were divvied up for him. But again, he played 15 minutes. The Pelicans actually had a nice lead in that game at one point. The Jazz came back to pick up the win. So NBA is back, and like I said, bubble seems to be working right now for the NBA. There have been no positive tests here of note recently in the NBA. And it seems like they're being able to keep the coronavirus out of the bubble here for now. There are a couple little minute things we're going to get to after this, but we're going to basically wrap now with what's going on in the college football ranks. And ACC had already announced on Thursday that they will be, or actually on Wednesday, they announced that they're only playing 11 games this season, 10 conference games in their season, and then we'll play one non-conference game, but it has to be in the home state of the certain institution in that conference. So if it's Florida State, say, that non-conference game has to be played in Florida. Virginia Tech has to be played in Virginia. Boston College has to be played in Massachusetts. Why did I bring up Boston College? Well, KU and Boston College are supposed to play on September 19th in Lawrence. That game, obviously, officially off the table now because the ACC said cannot travel for non-conference games out of the state. So, KU's been affected. K-State has now been affected with their non-conference schedule. They were slated to play Vanderbilt on September 19th at Bill Snyder Family Stadium in Manhattan, but the SEC has changed their schedule as well. SEC officially on Thursday saying that they will now play only a non-conference schedule, and they will get underway on September 26th is when the season will start. We'll tell you a little bit more about some of the reasonings behind that and why SEC has done that and backed up their start to September 26th, because not every conference has done that to back it up that far, but that's what the SEC is planning on doing. So there's this actually means a lot now for the ACC for sure, because there are a lot of like the Clemson South Carolina type thing. There are a lot of those like in-state rivalries that have ACC against SEC. Florida State, Florida, Miami and Florida, if, you know, if they play, there's a lot of that. There a lot of the geographically placed teams are in the same areas there. Georgia Tech. There's so much of it of SEC and ACC. So ACC actually was caught off by surprise. You know, they figure maybe we can get these games in. And I think that's why you say we don't go out of state for our non-conference games, why ACC puts that in, because you can still play if you're Florida State, Florida. If you're a road game for Florida State at Florida, you can still play that game. Your road game, Georgia at Georgia Tech or vice versa, you can still play that game no matter where it's at. And I think that's why the ACC put that little caveat in there about non-con. We'll play one non-con, but it has to be in the same state. So, again, the ACC was a little bit they got sidetracked. They were surprised by what the SEC decided to do to play only only conference games. And as the ACC the day before said, we're going to play 10 league foes plus one. So now that might change. The ACC might not even be able to play those non-con games unless they want to have other lower school teams come in that aren't in the Power Five. So once the SEC makes this decision, then there's only one conference left that hasn't made a decision on what they want to do for the 2020 football season, whether they want to play just conference games, whether they want to play 10 conference games, which you can't in the Big 12, which is the only conference that's holding the bag here. You can't play 10 games unless you add another member, because there's only 10 teams in your conference, which adds up to 9 games if you play a round robin. So you could play, a 9-game conference schedule, add a 10th non-conference game. There have been some other talk, and we'll kind of go over that here momentarily. But right now you just have to ask yourself, what's the Big 12 waiting for? At this point in time, when the other four Power 5 conferences, Big 10, Pac-12, and SEC now have all said all we're doing is conference games, ACC said we're doing 10 conference games and one non-con, which may change now because of what the SEC did, and the Big 12 is just sitting here waiting and waiting and waiting and not deciding. They made one decision yesterday. It was probably the most important decision that the Big 12 needed to make this whole summer, this whole COVID pandemic, about the 2020 season. Their important decision they made yesterday was to cancel their virtual media day, which was coming up on Monday. I'm being facetious when I say that was the most important decision the Big 12 needed to make. Pat Forty, who's on Twitter, says, to drop the cherry atop the chaos Sunday of college football. Sundays as in a ice cream Sunday, but chaos Sunday, just to make it fun. The Big 12 canceled its media day schedule for Monday. The cancellation came just 3.5 hours after the league sent out instructions for how to access the event, and just 28 hours after announcing that they would have a Big 12 virtual media day coming up on Monday. Why are you doing all this, scheduling this, and then 28 hours later you're like, no, we're not going to do it. Cancel. We're not going to do it. We got to figure out more about what's going on. We got to be able to do that. And then You're canceling it 3.5 hours after you sent out instructions to media on how to access the event. And we wonder why the Big 12 just, they get made fun of. You know, we say they're inept. We say, what are we waiting on? We say you're being reactive instead of proactive, and they just continue to be reactive instead of proactive. I know that right now is probably a time that it's okay a little bit to be reactive and not just like jump the gun on everything. But you are now the only Power 5 conference that has not decided what you want to do. It's time to make that decision. I don't, and Big 12 canceled this virtual media day. Bob Bowlesby said there continues to be a lot more questions than answers about what the football season will look like. A media day is intended to talk football and the prospects for the season. Part of that discussion is who you'll be playing and when. With the ongoing consideration of scheduling models by our board of directors, this is the best course of action at this time. The best course of action is to sit tight. It is not. There continues to be a lot more questions than answers about what the football season will look like. Not for the Big 12. Not anymore. Make a decision, because the teams you're playing now in the non-conference are not going to be in the Power 5 conferences. They're the teams that are already on your schedule. So you can hold the cards here. You can tell Buffalo and North Dakota on the K-State schedule, eh, we're not going to play non-conference games. Sorry, we're not going to be able to give you your money that you get. And maybe they will. Maybe they'll still pay them money that a lot of those teams get by coming into Power Conference schools and playing road games. They get compensated for that. They get money for their athletic department for doing that. But it's easy now for the Big 12. There's no reason to wait anymore. Absolutely no reason. You had to have had a plan coming in with what you might do with the 2020 football season. There's absolutely no more reason to wait in the Big 12 to make a decision on what you want to do with the 2020 football season. You hold all the cards for your non-conference opponents. Your conference schedule is already placed. If you only want to play a conference schedule, if you have 9 teams and only play 9-game conference schedule and you can't get in any non-con games, you hold the cards. You can tell your schools when and where they're playing. That's what part of the discussion is who you will be playing and when. Quote from Bob Bowlesby. That's not in the discussion anymore. You cannot. K-State cannot play Vanderbilt anymore at home. That's on their schedule. They cannot play that game on September 19th. Kansas cannot play Boston College anymore. They cannot do it. It's not possible. On September 19th, Kansas cannot play Boston College. They can't do it. It's not possible. Now, I know I've said that a lot. I'm trying to get to Bob Bowlesby's into his head here in the Big 12 that now that all these decisions are made, who you will be playing and when you will be playing is all in your control now. It's absolutely all in your control, because there's not going to be a fight put up by the little conferences that aren't in the Power 5 if you make a decision to cancel your non-conference schedule. That's it. It's over. Now, the SEC's decision affects more than just K-State. It affects what would have been a very exciting matchup between Texas and LSU. So that's out. You know, that was a rematch chance for Texas there in the Big 12. So they don't get that trip to Baton Rouge, potentially get revenge in a grudge match there. Oklahoma's blockbuster non-conference game with Tennessee will not happen. Again, Kansas State won't welcome Vanderbilt. Baylor's meeting in Houston with Ole Miss is off. Possibility of a potential Southwestern Conference revival, Arkansas, TCU, Texas A&M, Texas Tech, that we're needing non-conference games. That's no longer in the cards either. We have 4 games for sure that have been affected in the Big 12 that will not happen. They cannot happen. You don't have to make the decision anymore, Bob Bowlesby. It's been made for you. Those games will not happen. And the story I'm reading, the Big 12, as usual, couldn't be bothered to treat an urgent situation proactively. The conference was intent on waiting until Monday to sort things out. Like I say, all while sending out things to the media about how to access your virtual media day that you've now canceled. I don't know what the Big 12 is waiting on. I don't understand it. There's been talk now. Okay, so if you want to do it, I think one of the biggest contentions with the Big 12 is every single other one of these conferences can do a 10-game conference-only schedule. Every single one of them can do it. They can make it work. Big 12 cannot, unless they bring in another team. The ACC didn't have to bring in Notre Dame, but they did it to help Notre Dame with their schedule. We've talked about that. But again, you're in a situation now where the Big 12 has to make a decision. There's been talk maybe you invite like an independent like BYU to fill out your 10 games on your schedule to have an 11th member just for 1 year. Listen, the Big 12 would have been proactive a long time ago and found good teams to add to this conference when they were getting poached by other leagues. This wouldn't be an issue, and I think the Big 12 could make this decision a lot quicker because they would have a built-in 10-game conference schedule. They don't have that. But now there's no reason. If you want to play the non-con games, if you want to get that 10th game and say Buffalo can come to Manhattan on September 5th, Southern Illinois can come to KU on August 29th or whenever that is, then do it. Tell me you want to have a 10th game and do it. Just do it. Just step up and say, yeah, we're going to invite a smaller conference school to come in. Give me what you want to do. Tell me what you want to do. There's no more reason to be waiting on this for the Big 12. It's just no reason. And you continue to get the quotes from Bob Boolsby. They're like, do you know what's going on right now? Do you understand? Bob Boolsby told Paul Feinbaum yesterday, we all have different issues, different hot spots, and different thinking among public health officials and governors. In the end, I think we'll all be comparable. That doesn't mean we'll be identical. No kidding. Yes, they're different, but you are now the last team that has to make, or the last conference, I should say, that has to make a decision on what you want to do. It's time to step up and make that decision. What are you waiting for? The kids are going to practices supposedly today. Today and tomorrow, fall camps can open up. I don't know what they're waiting for. Chris Klieman was asked yesterday and talked about the possibility of even having a 2020 season. You know, we're talking about all these things and who's going where, when they can come, when they can go play, what conferences are doing what, how many are just doing only conference games. And the fact remains that even the only conference game thing is still up in the air with what we talked about with what's going on in baseball right now, and you're seeing different teams be affected by COVID-19. But Chris Klieman was asked yesterday and talked about it with the Manhattan Rotary Club in a Zoom meeting, how he feels about the 2020 season, kind of going back and forth on it.
A month ago, I'd have said, I doubt if we'd have football season. If he'd asked me 3 weeks after, a week after that, I'd have said, yep, we're definitely having a season. 2 weeks ago, I'd have said, no. Last week, I'd said, yeah, probably. I'm leaning towards yes right now. But as we all saw with, like, the Florida Marlins just recently, something can happen just like that. So we've done as good a job as we can as of educating our guys that our biggest fear is when they leave the facility.
Again, that's Chris Klieman, head coach of the Kansas State football team, about the possibility of even having the 2020 football season. So, again, all up in the air still, but just what he said to me, I can't say the whole thing, but get off the pot, Bob Boolsby. Like, do it. Tell me what you want to do for 2020, because you're the only team that's holding the bag here, and you're left and still just like, oh, we'd rather wait to make a decision. There's nothing more to wait on right now. You can tell the smaller conferences what to do. I'm just trying to comprehend why you wait at this point in time. By the way, I told you that I'd tell you kind of a little bit of the reason why SEC is backing up to September 26th. That was explained as expecting a possible spike in cases when the students return to campus. It means the season needs to be delayed to give the best chance to start. The delay eliminates room for non-conference games, is what the SEC said. That's why they're eliminating non-conference, because they're delaying the season. So really they decided first to delay the season, and in turn that eliminates non-conference games because they're starting on September 26th, which makes sense. If that's the way you want to go about it, if that's what your health officials have told you, that possible spike in cases when students return is going to mean that you're going to have to quarantine, you're going to be getting people ready to go, and your best chance is to wait until late September to get started, that's what they've been told. So that's why the SEC has decided to start late. And again, in essence, the decision to start late is why non-conference games have been canceled in the SEC for 2020. 2020 just continues to come at us as far as that's concerned. Make a decision, please, Bob Boolsby, about what the Big 12 is going to do with the 2020 football season, and preferably before Monday. Let's get it done with. All right, a couple other things that we want to get to before we wrap up the sports ticket here this morning. Unfortunately for the Sporting KC soccer team, their season came to a close on Thursday. They were into the round of eight in the knockout round of the MLS's back tournament. Philadelphia scored three goals in the first 39 minutes of their match in Orlando last night, and Philadelphia went on to win 3-1 in the round of 8 of the knockout stage. So Sporting, they scored their only goal in stoppage time right before half. Each team was scoreless in the second half. Sporting season comes to a close with that loss, while Philadelphia moves on to the semifinals with the victory. PGA Golf, WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational began on Thursday. And real quick, I'm going to try to find an update on that leaderboard for you. That'll be a little bit different than what we saw this morning. Brooks Koepka was in the lead after one round. He's the defending champion in that event. So let me pull those numbers up. Koepka is through eighth today. He's 9 under par, still in first place. One stroke ahead of fellow American Brendan Todd, who is 2 under through 10 today, and 8 under par. Ricky Fowler's moved down to spot to third. He's 6 under par as he's even today through four. And a couple other notables. Phil Mickelson was doing fairly well, but today through six, he's 1 over par, so 2 under on the tournament. And then Kansan Gary Woodland had kind of a rough start to the tournament, and he is even today through two, so still 1 over par, tied for 48th in the WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational. This has a $10.5 million purse, so pretty good payout for whoever wins it. Again, Brooks Koepka, the defending champion, is one stroke ahead of Brendan Todd right now in that tournament. NASCAR back on the track this weekend as well. After nearly a week and a half since their last race in Kansas, Foxwood Resort Casino 301 is taking place in New Hampshire on Sunday at 2 o'clock on NBC Sports Network. So, again, a lot to discuss and go through here today. And I think I'm hoping I covered all of it and got out all the latest and what's going on. Again, NBA, Major League Baseball, MLS, all in act, WNBA is in action right now. NASCAR, a lot of sports are back out there, but some of them are being interrupted by COVID-19, as we talked about. Again, the latest Major League Baseball note here today, 3 members of the St. Louis Cardinals organization, it doesn't say whether they're players or who they are, it just says St. Louis Cardinals have had, actually not three, I think maybe I saw that somewhere else, but right now it just says multiple members. St. Louis Cardinals have had multiple members test positive for the coronavirus, resulting in MLB postponing Friday afternoon's game at Milwaukee. If they're postponing today's game, which is scheduled to start at 1:10 this afternoon, I would guess that the Cardinals are not going to be playing games in Milwaukee this weekend in any fashion. So, again, we've now had, we had 5 teams that are basically affected by what happened with Miami Marlins. 2 more today. 7 total teams out of the 30 in the major leagues have been affected at some point or another here within the last week with COVID-19. And this is why there's concerns about not playing in the bubble. So that's the latest in Major League Baseball. If you ever missed anything throughout the show today, again, we covered a lot. Damian Williams of the Chiefs giving his reasons why he decided to sit out for the 2020 season. And obviously we give the update on the SEC, the Big 12, and what they're not doing as far as 2020 football. Thoughts from Chris Kleiman. Again, the Royals have another rookie starter, Chris Bubich, taking the mound here tonight, making his MLB debut. NBA is back. And much more. So if you missed any of this that we talked about earlier, if you caught us late, it'll be posted on our Sports Ticket podcast at katycountry94.com later today. All of our past Sports Ticket shows are posted there. Big thanks to everybody for tuning in here on Katy Country 94. And hoping all of you have a great weekend. Listen, crossing my fingers that we can have a football season coming up, but things aren't looking the greatest from that aspect. But we'll keep an eye on all of it and hope that we can see college and NFL and even high school sports, high school football and everything coming up here in the fall. We'll keep an eye on it. Again, have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Sports Ticket today.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.